Recording has started.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GNSA review call on the 18th of November 2015. On the call today, we have Osvaldo Novoa, Klaus Stahl, Rudy Vancenik, Chuck Gomes, Avi Doria, and Jen Wolf. We received no apology for today's call. And from staff, we have Larissa Gernick, Marika Koenigs, Mary Wong, Glenda Saint-Géry, Charles Assembly, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. Ame Al-Sadeh has just joined us in the Adobe Connect room. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Jen.
Thanks so much, and thanks, everybody, for making time again to continue our work in reviewing the recommendations. As many of you may recall, during our in-person meeting in Dublin, we utilized this format that I think was very effective in allowing us to work our way through each of the recommendations provided by the independent examiners and tally the survey results that we had provided as a group and be able to then discuss them to determine, do we think that these should go forward? Do we think they should go forward with comments? Do we think work is already being done in a certain way within the ICANN community? Do we think there should be some modifications, or do we just believe it should not be implemented? And just as a reminder to everybody, our goal here is to use this as a tool to get us through all of the recommendations, and then we will formulate that into a written recommendation to, I was about to say the SIC, but the Organizational Effectiveness Committee, so that they could then determine how to go forward. They did give us an extension of time in order to do this work, so we were appreciative of that extension of time. You know, our hope today is that we can get through the remaining, I think we have 13 more recommendations, that we can get through those recommendations, and then if needed, we can schedule one more meeting just to recap and review and determine our final communication to the OEC to keep us on track. So any comments or just questions before we dig into the recommendations on the screen? Okay. Great. Then we'll go ahead and get started. So the first recommendation on the screen, and again, these are just in the order that we were working them through, recommendation number three, excuse me, that the GNSO Council reduce or remove cost barriers to volunteer participation in working groups. So I'll just open it up now for comments, questions. You can see here we said that on the side, in terms of ease of implementation, that this seemed hard. And we had a 50% number in terms of where people responded. So comments on this particular point? Yes, Amr, please.
Thanks, Jen. This is Amr. There's a bit of an overlap between this recommendation and one of the responses we gave to another, where when we discussed incentives to people participating in working groups, I think we put in language in our recommendation as a review team that that the incentives should not be financial. So I would be a little concerned on how the implementation of this recommendation would take place. I would be concerned on who determines how the finances are allocated to working group members. I'm not saying that it can't be worked out, but there are still a lot of questions around how this could be done. I certainly wouldn't want this recommendation to go through and the GNSO Council being faced with a position where it has to decide who should get funded to participate in working group meetings. I think, from recent experience, which is rather limited on my time on council, It just seems a little problematic for the GNSO Council to make these sorts of decisions. It's easier when the stakeholder groups and constituencies do them. So I'm just saying there's a lot of context behind a recommendation like this, and there's more work that needs to be done before we consider recommending that it be implemented. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Omar. And you're exactly right. We did talk about that in Dublin, that you know there shouldn't be financial, you know, if that's an incentive. And I agree, this is a fairly broad statement. Klaus, please go ahead.
Yes, for me, first of all, the language is a little bit imprecise, because what does it mean, remove cost barriers? What are cost barriers? And, for example, I think And sorry that I'm coming back to the financial part, and I understand Aman, I completely agree with him, but it's like squaring the circle. For example, one of the cost barrier is quite simply time, and people can't do their day job with which they earn their bread if they really properly participate in the working groups. So I'm really not happy with that word cost barrier, because normally the travel and the participation in working groups, face-to-face meetings and so on, is often covered. But the other barriers, the real barriers of participating in the working group, i.e. time and the cost related to that, is not included in here. And so for me, it's absolutely not clear as a recommendation. Thank you.
Great, thanks. And I'll just note, Marika noted in the chat that for most of this, it's conference calls. It's not necessarily a cost to participate. So I just wanted to reference that. Chuck, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks, Jen. And following up on what Amr and Klaus said, just a little history in terms of another area where the GNSO has tried to remove some cost barriers, and that's with regard to travel to ICANN in-person meetings. And initially, it started out on kind of an as-needed basis, and then over time, it basically became a default that counselors and officers and so forth would take the slots, and if there were any left over for those who had need, they could apply those. And then, of course, you have the fellowship program as well, with very strict guidelines for how to participate. So Amr's points are really well taken, that who decides and how do you decide it? It's not an easy thing, and it's real easy. For example, if we're talking about a working group and there's any cost that might occur, like, for example, to an in-person meeting, chances are, although maybe this could be controlled, is that we might start out on an as-needed basis if we can define how to evaluate need. But if it's like the past has shown, it'll go to the working group chairs and so forth. So it is a complicated issue. At least half of us said this is a hard one, and two-thirds of us said it was going to be an expensive one. And I think those are very true characterizations of this particular recommendation.
Thanks, Chuck. And I see, Rudy, you have your hand up, so please go ahead, and then perhaps we can agree on what our response is on this comment. Rudy, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jen. Rudy, for the transcript. I agree with what was said by the three previous speakers, although travel is one of the issues that are not enabling people to participate in face-to-face meetings. But I think that there is also something else that could help in bringing in new bloods and more participants in the working groups. Although the community wiki of the working groups helps already, to me, my experience till today is that there is a bit more effort to be done on the wikis themselves. When you're used to work in working group, you find quite often more or less easily your way in the wiki of the working group. But for newcomers, it takes time to get through and to find the status of the working group, for instance, already. It's one of the issues that is popping up when you go to the working group. So I think some efforts could be done on having a better overview and summary of the status of a working group, so that the newcomer can easily find a way of, okay, this is something I could jump in, yes or no. That's at least what I find.
Great. Thanks, Rudy. That's a great comment. So it sounds like, you know, where we are is that the idea of removing, you know, barriers to participation is would be helpful with things like Rudy just mentioned, maybe some training or making it easier to use the wiki. But anything regarding cost would need to be better defined in order to proceed. Would that be a good way to summarize that we agree with the intent of removing barriers, but that cost needs to be defined and that we look at maybe other ways to remove barriers? Does that work? Anybody opposed to that comment? Okay, great. We see checks. All right.
Chuck,
go ahead.
This is Chuck. Let me follow up with that. I think an action item for implementing this particular one would be to do what you just said and what Klaus said and others as well. First of all, a first step on this one is to identify what the cost barriers are for different groups. I think that's an action item that needs to precede going too far with this, and several people have hit on that. We really need to define what the cost barriers are before we can attempt to remove them or even reduce them.
That's an excellent point. Thank you very much. Okay, so moving on to recommendation 7, the stakeholder groups and constituencies engage more deeply with community members whose first language is other than English as a means to overcoming language barriers. And I think we talked a little bit about this in Dublin, but, you know, again, I know this is a very broad statement, but comments on this particular recommendation. Klaus, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
To be absolutely honest, I feel a little bit insulted by that recommendation, because as somebody who is working in a constituency with all the limited language skills I've got in Spanish and other languages, I'm really trying to engage with people in their mother tongues or however all the way. And I think to put the workload away from ICANN as a whole into the stakeholder and to the constituencies, I find a little bit very limited. Thank you.
Thank you. And Charlotte and Larissa, I saw your hands both went up there. Do you have a point of clarification for us on this issue?
Actually, this is Larissa. Jen, I was hoping to go back to Rec 3 real quickly.
Sure,
and,
no problem.
Get consensus so that we can appropriately tag it with the color scheme that has been developed. So
I think it was a yellow that we agree with the intent but suggested modification.
Right. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Was that Charlotte? Was that yours as well?
Yes, Charlotte had the same question.
Sorry about that. I'll make sure I use the color coding. I'm sorry.
no problem. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Okay. So other comments on recommendation 7. Rudy, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jen, Rudy, for the transcript. Well, I think it goes together with my previous comment. If there is any possibility of having summaries in different languages on the working group's work that is done, that could definitely outstanding people to join the working group and be of help, and especially having the ability to communicate what is in another language into their communities. I think it's going close to what I've mentioned for the recommendation 3.
Thanks, Rudy. And a question to staff, is this already being done? I feel like this is perhaps being done in some instances. Is it being done in all instances where there are transcriptions available? Does anybody from staff know?
Jen, this is Larissa. I don't know that it's being done on a consistent basis. Mary might be able to provide more substantive answer.
That would be great. Marika, please, if you can provide any enlightenment on this issue.
This is Marika. I'm sorry, I just got disconnected between this point, but I understand that the question is in relation to what is provided with regard to translation of documents.
Correct.
And the PDP, PDP manual does prescribe some guidance in that regard, and I think as a standard practice, at least from a policy development process perspective, all executive summaries of documents are translated, and in addition to that, final reports are fully translated. So that is, I think, what the current guidance is that is provided, you know, as a result as well of the community conversations on the PDP. And as well, I know, for example, the GeneSO website, we do have, you know, made it easier for people to click, like use Google Translate or Bing Translate to translate pages as well as the website, which I know is, of course, not a perfect translation, but at least we've tried as well to make it easier for people to do that at their own account.
Great. Thank you very much. So what is the consensus that this is work that's being done, or do we think that more needs to be done towards this recommendation? Chuck, please go ahead.
Thanks. It seems to me that this is a recommendation that probably should, in terms of implementation, should be combined with several others, because I haven't identified all of them. But it seems to me there are several recommendations that all kind of tie into this one, and it might be good if we identified similar or related recommendations and suggest that they be looked at together. Even number three that we just looked at with regard to cost barriers could be somewhat related to this. So I think there's interdependencies of several of the recommendations that might be good if they were combined in terms of implementation.
Great point. Thank you. And Amr, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. This is Amr. Chuck makes a really good point. I was actually going to ask. It feels to me that I'm reading this recommendation a little differently than others are, because to me this doesn't seem like a recommendation very geared towards increasing participation in working groups or sort of providing access in different languages to things like the final reports of PDP working groups, which is already being done. But it seems more like a recommendation that is being made to stakeholder groups and constituencies of the GeneSO regarding how they function internally. At least that was my understanding of the recommendation. And so when I first read this and I submitted a comment on it, I thought it was a pretty good recommendation, actually. In terms of implementing it, it might be considerably difficult to do this. That is, if the recommendation is actually geared more towards stakeholder groups and constituencies, sort of reaching out to their membership, those members who do not who use languages other than English, for example. I just wanted to say that I actually do like this recommendation. I think it's a good idea. As far as the NCUC is concerned, for example, we do have the executive committee members from different regions they're meant to actually do this, to sort of reach out to the members of the constituency who are from their regions and try to help them to the extent possible. But it hasn't been implemented too well, and I would say that it might be challenging to implement it in the aftermath of this review as well. Thanks.
Thanks. And Chuck, I see your hands up again. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to give an illustration with regard to the registry stakeholder group, because this came up recently. We haven't done anything on it yet, but it relates to this recommendation. One of the things that constituencies and stakeholder groups could possibly do in the special budget requests that we do every year, those have for the most part been related to travel. But it's possible that some of us could put in requests for funding of some translation services or other similar language support that would help us in our individual groups in that regard. So I just give that as an example as maybe one way in which some of us maybe could respond to a recommendation like this.
So is the consensus that we agree with the intent, but we want some clarification or refinement of this, or do you think that it's a general idea that we should accept and say move forward with this recommendation? Is there a consensus that we flag it as green? Yes, Chuck.
Well, I think that it's correct to say we support the intent. I think this is one that's hard to say too much without involving the individual stakeholder groups and constituencies, because Amr's right. It is directed at stakeholder groups and constituencies. So this may be one where we want to get some representatives together in a small group and see what their particular needs are in this before going too far down the path of making recommendations, because it may be different for different stakeholder groups and constituencies. So I guess what I'm saying is, yeah, we support the intent, but it may be a good idea to involve some representatives from SGs and Cs to further discuss how this might happen.
Okay, so no, I think that's great, Chuck. Thank you. So I think that would flag this as a yellow, that we agree with the intent, and the modification that we would suggest is that further discussions be held with the SGs and Cs to, you know, refine how this would move into implementation. Does that work?
Works for me. This is Chuck.
Okay. Anybody opposed to that? Okay. Scene checks. That's good. Okay, then let's move on to recommendation number 9, which states that a formal working group leadership assessment program be developed as part of the overall training and development program. So again, that's a fairly broad statement. So I guess we could start with, is this something that we think is important and should perhaps be refined a bit, or is there opposition to this idea? Klaus, please, go ahead.
I just would like to know what is meant by working group leadership assessment program. Is it to assess the leadership of working groups, or is it to train working group leaders? What is meant by that?
I think that's a great question. We can try to pull up some of the context and the details. If I recall, and Larissa, you may have more to add to it, but I think it was an idea of assessing and trying to help working group leaders have training and become more developed. Larissa, do you have more context to add to that?
Hi, Jen. Yes, this is Larissa. My recollection was that this had to do with assessing the needs of the leadership for training and development. So it wasn't assessment of their performance as much at all. I think it was really the assessment of where they feel they needed additional training and development to be better, more effective leaders.
Great, thank you. Rudy, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jen. Rudy for the transcript. Well, indeed, I think it's important that if we want to have working groups that are successful and leading into good policy, it is important to have good leadership, chairs and co-chairs. Having the experience with one PDP working group where I was a co-chair, we both were new in doing this kind of work. It would be good if there was a possibility to have some kind of group training that allows people to raise their hand and become a leader of a group. And avoid that the group is going down when the leader is not available or is just dropping off. I think in the context of the academy that we have in ICANN now, perhaps there could be a slot specifically for the working group leaders.
Thank you. Chuck, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. It seems to me that this is a green. And that the action item for the GNSO on this one is to develop an assessment, a needs assessment for working group leaders. And that to me is a way to, that's really what this is calling for. And I don't hear anybody disagreeing with requirement to assess the needs for working group leaders.
No, that's great. I think you're right. So if I'm seeing check marks, so let's mark that as green with the notation for the GNSO to develop a needs assessment. So let's mark that as green.
Could I? Sorry, this is Klaus.
Sure.
Can we just reframe the thing that it's a little bit clearer? The recommendation just reworded in such a sense that it's clear what it's actually meant.
Yes. You mean that it be a needs assessment?
Yes.
Yes. So hopefully Charlotte has that. And like I said, we'll circulate these again so everybody can look at them. So if we think any more refinements need to be made to our comments, we can have one more round at making those comments. Okay, so moving on in our discussion, we'll move on to recommendation number 10, which states that the GNSO Council develop criteria for working groups to engage a professional facilitator or moderator in certain situations. Klaus, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Sorry that I'm talking so much, but I'm very passionate about it. Out of my professional experience, I'm basically very much against the use of professionals, facilitators, and moderators, because quite simply they're in the groups and in the things are specific dynamics going on, and from outsiders who are basically not subject experts, often they do more good than harm. But that is just a personal opinion which shouldn't scupper this recommendation. But what I find really, really woolly is a whole, again, the wording of the presentation. What does it mean in certain situation? What does it mean engage? What is a professional facilitator moderator? I think the intent is to get some more professionalism into the working groups, but I think this is exactly the wrong way, and also it's very costly. Thank you.
Great, thanks. And Marika, I saw your hand go up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. It may be worth pointing out here as well that, of course, we currently do have a pilot program that's ongoing in relation to facilitated face-to-face working group meetings. So as part of that, we also anticipate that we'll be providing the feedback that we've received as a result from that experience, which also may help inform maybe to Klaus's point in that indeed as well, whether that was actually deemed helpful or not. And I can only speak from my personal experience, but I think indeed for some of the meetings, I shared this perspective that Klaus has, that it may not always work as a person doesn't necessarily have the understanding of both the subject matter nor the dynamics that exist in the community. But of course, there may be situations in which it could be very useful. But again, I think the review of that pilot may help inform further conversations around this, whether indeed it seems worthwhile to pursue, or whether the benefit don't outweigh the costs that, of course, a professional facilitator or moderator would bring with them.
Great, thank you. And Chuck, please go ahead.
Thanks. And Aubrey had a good comment in the chat too, an example where a facilitator could be helpful. Now, as Marika, I think, hinted at there, we've had some success with using facilitators. And in some cases, they haven't been external facilitators who don't know anything, but people who are familiar. So that, Klaus, I think that your concerns could be addressed based on the development of by developing criteria that deal with that. In some cases, it might be better to use somebody that's internal. In others, it might not. Maybe in a case like Aubrey mentioned there, where a group is at loggerheads there. So, but note that this recommendation is just developing criteria for when facilitators or moderators might be used. So, again, I think this is a green, and I think that the criteria themselves that are developed could deal with the concerns that the legitimate concerns that Klaus mentioned, and also, of course, in Aubrey's chat comment, that's probably one criterion where a facilitator or moderator might be useful.
Thanks, Chuck. So I guess my only question to that would this be orange, since there is a pilot program, and we want to see the outcome of that pilot program for this to proceed? Or do some of you feel like this is a this is a red, that it's not
this,
a,
this
not
is,
to implement.
This is Chuck. I don't, is that pilot program developing criteria, or is it just experimenting with the concept? If it's developing criteria, orange would be okay. If it's not, then I'm not sure it's already underway.
Marika, can you provide some clarity on that?
Yeah, this is Marika. The pilot itself is not specifically focused on criteria, although we've tried and as part of, you know, how do you identify someone and how do you identify which project, I think that has some criteria. But I do anticipate that when we review it, we may come back with certain criteria for which, you know, facilitated face-to-face meetings may be useful or what the council should consider. So it's not a real black-white answer, but I suspect that some guidance or suggestions may be included as part of that review.
Chuck, go ahead.
Maybe our suggestion should be that we encourage the pilot that's going on to also take at least the first step in developing criteria, and then if necessary, further work can be done on that after the pilot.
I think that would be a good way to proceed. Do you all think orange? I see maybe checks for orange or prefer green.
This is Chuck. I can live with orange if we make a comment like I just said.
Okay.
I think that's okay.
Okay. I'm seeing some check marks there. So, Charlotte, let's mark that one orange with the comment that we want to see the outcome of the existing pilot program and that if it is positive, that more criteria be developed. Okay, moving on to recommendation 13, which states that the GNSO Council evaluate and, if appropriate, pilot a technology solution such as Lumio or similar to facilitate wider participation in working group consensus-based decision-making. And I think we're starting to get into the ones where there was more discrepancy on what everyone thought. So what is your feelings? Do we need more technology solutions? Do what we have work? Or is there already work being done to evaluate technology solutions? Any comments on this recommendation? Chuck.
Yeah, sorry to talk so much, but I think that work is going on. I think staff's been looking at technology solutions for years, probably,
yeah.
But I don't think this is something that's a done deal. I think you always should be looking for solutions that help us do our collaboration better. So it's not as if I don't think we ever reach a. So I think one of our comments should be this should be a continuous improvement type thing where we always try within cost constraints to have the most effective technology solutions to help us do what we do.
No, that's a great point. Marika, do you know if this work is currently being done?
Yes, it is, Marika. So yes, Chuck is correct that there are various things staff is looking at, and we actually explored recently, and I think another tool, and again, I'm not familiar with Lumio, so I don't know if it was a similar kind of approach, but again, it was a tool on facilitating working group participation, sign up, working on documents. And I know we're looking at other tools as well, for example, to facilitate working group sign-up. So I agree with Chuck. I think this is probably something of, you know, continuous improvement and, probably helpful as well to involve, you know, staff in the conversation to see what has already been evaluated and reviewed and see, indeed, are there other tools such as Lumio that may need to be further considered as well.
Great. Thank you. Amar, please go ahead.
Thanks, Jen. This is Amar. This is a personal opinion. I'm not familiar with Lumio either, but I have done a lot of work on implementation of information systems for collaborative work, specific healthcare field, and I've done a lot of reading on academic papers that have been dealing with this both in and outside of healthcare for decades now, and it seems to me that the rough consensus on this from an academic perspective is that an introduction of a system does not necessarily mean an improvement in sort of like the work that is being done. I think there's a general flaw in the principle or the assumption that introducing a system will help increase working group participation or engagement with the wider public in that sense. I think this is something that needs to be studied very carefully. I think in a lot of situations, introducing new systems actually complicates the work for the people who are already doing it, people who are already kind of used to doing the work in the way that they have been doing it, and introducing new technologies may complicate it. It could be very problematic, and I would recommend a more cautioned approach before doing anything too drastic in terms of implementing this recommendation. Thanks.
Great, thank you. So since there is some work being done, would we code this as an orange with a comment that we believe in continuous improvement, but that no specific tool is being recommended, and that we should not, to your point, Amr, just add tools for the sake of adding tools, but ensure they're really meeting some specific need that's currently unmet? And I think, Rudy, you said yellow. Do we think orange? Since there is some work being done. So is there, with checks or stop signs, whatever you have for no, orange, is orange okay, since there is some work being done with those comments? Okay, I see one check, two checks. Anyone opposed to flagging as orange? Okay, so we've got those comments that will be added to that recommendation. Okay, so recommendation 14, that the GNSO further explore PDP chunking and examines each potential PDP. Okay, you guys are moving it on me, making it hard. That the GNSO further explores PDP chunking and examines each potential PDP as to its feasibility for breaking into discrete stages. And I guess maybe at the outset, if we can just ask Marika again, is there any update on what's being done in the PDP working group? Please, Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think this is basically something that is already being done. I think that the GNSO Council examines each PDP at its merits and determines what is the best approach for dealing with them. And then I think the three PDPs that are currently under consideration, all specifically discussed as part of the preliminary issue report, as well as the council conversations on what is the best way of dealing with it. Should it be sequential and phases? Should it be broken up? And then, of course, this is as well for the working group to determine themselves what is the best way of working. So, I, at least from my perspective, I don't think there's anything that is preventing the GNSO as well as PDP working groups from doing so. And I think they're actually doing that already. Although, of course, at the same time, needs to be recognized that, at the end of the day, everything will need to be, we need to come together to get submitted to the council and subsequently the board. So it's unlikely, although I don't think that the PDP as such prevents it, that certain recommendations could already start passed through while others are still being worked on. Although I guess in theory that is an option too.
Thanks, Marika. Amr, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. This is Amr. I certainly agree with Marika here. I think it is important to allow the GNSO some level of flexibility to determine when and if chunking is necessary or helpful. The way this recommendation is worded, I don't think it's harmful in any way. It's just saying that asking the GNSO explores PDP chunking, which is kind of in a way already happening. So I don't think there's a problem with the GNSO exploring this concept and seeing when and how it could be useful or helpful. I will note that that there were some, I think, legitimate concerns to this recommendation raised by Westlake themselves in the report, and they mentioned this. So these are, I guess, things like, for example, continuity of volunteers across different chunks in a single PDP, for example. There could be problems with this, but like I said, kind of doing this on an ad hoc basis where the GNSO itself determines when this could be helpful or not, be fine. But in principle, I don't see anything. I don't think the recommendation itself is problematic. It's just asking the GNSO to explore this. Thanks.
Thanks, Amar. Chuck, please go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with everything that's been said. I think the word "further" kind of throws this off a little bit. This is another, I think, continuous improvement type thing that. For any PDP, ideas such as chunking should be considered if it works. And, of course, one of the most successful examples of chunking is the inter-registrar transfer policy, the way it was broken down. And that process is finally coming to a head in implementation right now. But even with the PDP that's under consideration for registration data, that's going to be a huge and very long PDP, in essence, there's some chunking in the issues report, not in the same way that happened with the inter-registrar transfer policy, but some phases. I think that's an example where, again, it's been considered and probably should in each PDP of any significant size or complication, this is something that should be explored. So I think it's not so much further exploring as it is in each case evaluating whether some form of chunking, and there's not one size fits all, as the two examples I cited are very different, but it should be examined where appropriate and decided, like Amar said, with the discretion to the council to and the whole GNSO to decide whether it's useful.
Great. Thanks, Chuck. So do we feel like this is orange, because work is being done on this, that we would code it orange with some refinements? Chuck saying yes. So maybe better defining chunk and the end. How that is determined. Okay, I'm seeing checks. Chuck,
yeah,
is that a new hand? Go ahead. Sorry.
It is. It is, because I don't know that chunk needs to be defined. In fact, we don't want to be restrictive or like I gave two examples where two very different types of chunking occurred. So I'm not sure it's necessary to define chunking, because we need, I think it's better to be flexible there. What's being proposed in the report for the registration data PDP is very different than the chunking that occurred for the inter-register transfer policy, but they're both very, I think, can be very useful and helpful in the PDP process. So I don't think that we need to define chunking, but I'm open to discussion on that.
So do you think, Chuck, in terms of a comment, if we say this is orange, the work is already being done and is underway, but if we're going to add something to it, that it's not necessarily defining chunking, but defining when it's appropriate or defining when it could be used?
Well, this is Chuck again. And, yes, I mean, obviously, the usefulness of chunking really comes into play in more complex and long PDPs. So in that sense, that's what happened with the inter-registrar transfer policy, and that's what's being proposed using phases in their registration data PDP that the council's going to probably vote on tomorrow. So I think you've got the gist of what is appropriate here, but it's already being done, and I don't know if we want to cite two examples, one that's happened successfully and one that's proposed, that are two separate examples. It's probably not necessary to cite the examples, because certainly the council will be very familiar with those.
Okay, so are we in consensus this can be coded orange? Work's already being done. I think I've seen a little bit in the chat. Everybody okay with that? Any opposed? Okay. Then we'll move on to recommendation 21, which states that the GNSO Council should regularly undertake or commission analysis of trends in GTLDs in order to forecast likely requirements for policy and to ensure those are affected are well represented in the policymaking process. Thoughts and comments. I don't believe any work is being done on this right now, but Marika or Mary, please correct me if I'm wrong about that. I think this is a relatively new recommendation. Marika, do you have some more context on that?
Yeah, this is Marika. Exactly. I'm not aware that this is anything the GNSO Council would be doing, and I'm not really sure that the Council is set up or even authorized or you know, it's part of its mission to undertake or commission trends. But I did see actually an announcement passing by yesterday that I think was looking for input on the health of the GTLD sector. I don't remember exactly what it was called, but I think there is probably work going on maybe within the GDD team that I think looks more at this kind of information. So maybe it's more appropriate to say that the Council should check whether such information is available and get briefed on it so it can factor that into requirements for policy. So, again, maybe worth checking what is already going on, but I'm not really sure if it's really for the Council, at least in its current role, to undertake that kind of work.
Great, thank you. Rudy, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jen. Rudy, for the transcript. Well, indeed, I don't think it's the duty of the Council, but it's rather constituencies and stakeholder groups that could see requests for policy future, and sometimes it pops up also during working groups that something needs to be done out of that working group. And that should be triggered in a certain way. I don't know how this is done today, but that seems to me quite important that you can trigger upcoming new policy based on work that is done in a working group.
Thank you. Klaus, please go ahead.
Yes, I think I'm not quite sure what analysis of trends in GDLD means. I would also agree with this is not a GNSO Council problem, and with Rudy, what Rudy said, it's more in the constituencies. But I would, for example, be very much interested to know with the consumer satisfaction of the new GDLDs, how our end users actually take these things, and that should influence the policy that happens further. So I think this is a recommendation, again, which is fairly vague and needs a lot of refinement.
Thanks, Klaus. Chuck, go ahead.
Thanks. I had a lot of trouble with this recommendation. I'm with Klaus on the fact, how do you analyze trends in GTLDs? What do they mean by that? It's one thing to look for possible policy issues that may be coming up based on what's happening with GTLDs, but I'm not sure how you analyze trends in GTLDs. That doesn't mean anything. And then the second part of the recommendation is very different and something that I think should be happening all the time for the Council, and that is to ensure those affected are well represented. That should be an ongoing practice of the Council to make sure that those who are impacted are well represented. So that's a very different thing than analyzing trends. So I think, first of all, this should be looked at, and I'm not sure we can color code it one way, because I'm not even sure I agree with analyzing trends of GTLDs, even if I could figure out what it meant. If we're talking about forecasting likely policy requirements, that's one thing, but analyzing trends in GTLDs to do that, I don't understand that. So let me stop there. This is, I think, a problematic recommendation. Not that the intent isn't probably okay, but the first part doesn't, I don't understand. The second part should be ongoing practice of the GNSO Council.
Thanks, Chuck. And I just want to add, I agree. I mean, I feel like to a certain extent that is what the stakeholder groups and constituencies do, is bring to the forefront policy issues that need to be considered. And so probably my biggest concern with this recommendation is that what does undertake a commission or commission an analysis? Does that mean hire somebody to go do that? You know, isn't that what the GDD is already doing? So I agree there's some maybe confusion on the wording. And, you know, we might want to look at, do we flag this as a red, as a do not implement, with an explanation of that, so that it's not construed that we don't, you know, believe in the importance of, you know, looking at policy issues. Amr, please go ahead.
Thanks, Jen. This is Amr. I agree that the term, I guess, analysis of trends in GPLDs may be a bit confusing. I'm not exactly sure what that means either. But in general, when reading this recommendation, what I was thinking was something more in line of having actual empirical data to base policy discussions on, or at least not based on, just at least to help move the discussions along in a certain way. But So I was thinking when I read this recommendation, I was thinking about like the few WHOIS studies that were done, like privacy proxy abuse and that sort of thing. And I was also thinking about the data metrics for policymaking working group. So I was just thinking about all these efforts to sort of where someone is actually commissioned to collect information and analyze it either quantitatively or not, and just make it useful. But again, I can't be sure that that's exactly what the recommendation is saying. So what I believe maybe we might want to do is if possible, reach out to Westlake and try to just gauge their ideas on what they were thinking in terms of this recommendation. We might also want to go back to the report. I admit I haven't read it in quite a while, so we might want to just go back there and just seek clarification on the context of what was meant by this recommendation. But like I said, in terms of getting someone to help develop empirical data that will assist in policy development, I think is a good thing. I think we should take advantage of that whenever we can. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. Larissa, I see your hands up. Do you have some clarification for us?
Yes, I just wanted to propose a thought. With the consumer choice, consumer trust, and competition review underway, as you all know, there is a great deal of effort to compile, analyze, and review the outcomes of a lot of activity having to do with the new GTLDs. Might it be useful to rephrase this recommendation in such a way that broadly it suggests that as analyses and data points and reviews, as that work progresses and there is outcomes from that, that be something that is considered by the GNSO Council as they as part of their regular effort to plan policy or coordinate policy development? More of a strategic sort of activity to consider all the information that emerges and might be useful in their consideration. Thank you.
Thanks, Larissa. And Chuck, I note in the chat you suggested that perhaps we break that sentence into two pieces. And I'm just going to guess here maybe what you were thinking, that we would take the first piece about undertaking or commissioning an analysis of trends in order to forecast policy, and then maybe a second piece ensuring those affected are well represented in policymaking.
Correct.
Maybe if we bifurcate in that way, so we would have 21A and 21B. And then are we thinking that perhaps 21A we would mark as orange, that it's being done in the consumer trust work that Larissa just mentioned, and the B piece, would that be something that we just say green? Of course, we recommend that people are well represented, or does that need to have some clarification?
This is Chuck. I would say that the 21B is being done, or at least it should be, being done all the time. That's one of the primary functions of the GNSO Council and its management role of policy development, is to ensure as much as possible that all stakeholders are well represented. So
would you say that's orange too?
That's orange. I'm not sure. I would say the first one is orange. I think that the things we're talking about in terms of competition and consumer trust are about to take place. I don't think that they've happened yet, or even officially been started. The CCT review from the AOC is scheduled to kick off in January, right?
Right. So would we say that that's a green? We recommend it, and maybe just make a notation that we think that work is going to be done.
This is Chuck. Sorry, Amr. This is Chuck. I don't think I would call it a green because it's so poorly worded. We don't know what analysis of trends really means, or at least I don't, and a couple other people seem to be in the same boat. So I think this is one that needs some the first 21A, I think, needs some modification.
Okay. Amr, please go ahead.
Thanks, this is Amr. I would actually advise against dividing or separating this recommendation into two just yet. Like Chuck said, 21B is already happening, and it will continue to happen. We don't need Westlake 2's recommendation to us if it's going to keep happening in the GNSO one way or another, either through the council, and the council is supposed to do this, is to make sure that everyone who needs to be represented is represented in working groups. And I'm sure the stakeholder groups and constituents of the GNSO are all over this as well. But until we do actually understand what they meant by what Westlake meant by analysis of trends in GTLDs, I think we wouldn't want to sort of just cancel out the association between what 21A is trying to say and what 21B is trying to say, because we might, I'm just saying, if we do take a closer look at this, we might discover that there is some kind of point they're trying to make that we're missing, and it may be something specific to the analysis and its association with representation in the PDP. So I would advise that we just try to figure out what exactly was meant by this before we decide to divide it. I think whether we divide it or not, 21B is going to keep on happening anyway. And if we don't understand what 21A is, then it's very unlikely we will be able to implement it. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. Any other points? Larissa, is it possible to get clarification from Westlake, or is their assignment completed at this point and that's not possible?
This is Larissa. I think it's absolutely possible to reach out to Westlake. What I would suggest is perhaps that we look into that section of the report and the narrative that supports that first, and then perhaps as an outcome of that, I'm happy to reach out to Westlake and see if they might be available to have a conversation with the working party. To help clarify this, I don't think that they would be opposed to that.
Well, perhaps we start with pulling the report first and maybe circulating that on list and just getting any comments, and we'll just put this particular one on hold, and we can either resolve it on the list, or if we need to have another call specifically for that issue, we can come back to that. So why don't we just flag that one for right now, that we're going to go back and look at the report in more detail on that particular issue, and then we can discuss it on list and determine where we think it needs to be coded. Is that okay with everyone? Anybody opposed to taking that offline? Okay. All right. So moving on, we have two more recommendations to get through on our call today. So hopefully that continues. I think we had a 90-minute call slated, so hopefully this timing works for everybody. So number 22 here on the list was that the GNSO Council develop a competency-based framework which its members should utilize to identify development needs and opportunities. Comments on this recommendation? Yes, Chuck, go ahead.
I wonder if this is just like 21.
Right.
where we need to, because I don't know.
What does that mean?
And I haven't, like others, I haven't looked at the detailed write-up in the report for quite a while. So I would, my own personal feeling is to treat 22 just like 21. Let's go back to the report, see if we can get some clarity there, and if not, get some clarity from Westlake on this. But that's my opinion. Okay.
Thanks, Chuck. Any others? I know reading that, and I know we probably need to go back and all look at the report on that one in particular. But that seems like a pretty broad statement that would need clarification for us to move forward with. Amr, please go ahead.
Thanks, Jen, this is Amr. I do remember that I had a thought on this when I was going through the report, and I think it had to do with there were several bullets under this recommendation, I think with sort of like items that should sort of be met in terms of, to sort of like determine sort of the competency of GNSO counselors. I also remember that I had a problem with this in principle, because it seemed to me that the competency of GNSO counselors should be determined by the constituencies and stakeholder groups who elect them or select them and send them to the GNSO council. So it's more of a, again, I think there is an element of this that is more of a stakeholder group / constituency issue and not so much of a GNSO-wide issue. But I think I would need to go back to the report and just figure out again what it was they were recommending be measured and how counselors may be assessed and for what purpose. Thanks.
Thanks, Omar. And I'll just note, too, I'm going back to my summaries, and this was one that they had changed or clarified in their final. The previous way it was worded was to say that the GNSO should review and implement a revised training and development program. And that they refined it to then say that the GNSO develop a competency-based framework which its members should utilize. So I'm thinking this has to do with the training and development. Aubrey, I see your hands up. Please, do you have? Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Aubrey speaking. I think in some senses this is already done. It's the kind of thing that gets reevaluated every year when the GNSO Council and GNSO at large speak of what do we need in new NOMCOM appointees, what competencies are missing. I think it's also something that comes up when, you know, the planning is going on in terms of these yearly sessions that new council members have with old council members of how do we need to improve, what do we need to work on, and such. So I think it is actually something that is ongoing, and that perhaps, you know, it needs a thread of greater attention to tie it together so that people could see it's being done and maybe fill in any gaps. But I don't see this as anything new and a great onus. And while I agree with Amr, in terms of appointing people, obviously, except for the NOMCOM appointees, that is up to the stakeholder groups. But in terms of looking at a sitting council and saying, you know, we really need to get better at or learn how to do at, or in the next council we should concentrate on. So I think it's being done. So at the most it's orange or closer to a dun color, but thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey. So that's important clarification. What do you all think? Do we still want to go back and look at the context in a bit more detail, or do we feel like we could mark this as orange? Chuck?
Yeah, well, Aubrey could be right. I didn't read this in the context of something like NOMCOM appointees and stuff like that, and if that's what it refers to, that's good. But so why don't we just go back and confirm that that's what this is saying? And if it is, Aubrey's right, that this kind of thing already happens in a variety of ways within constituencies and stakeholder groups and with consultation between the GNSO and the NOMCOM and so forth. So I'll just throw that out. Go back. In other words, let's take a look at their more detailed language in the report. Consult with them if we need to, and if it just to confirm what Aubrey's saying, and if that's correct, and it may very well be, then Orange is probably the right thing.
Thanks, Chuck. And I know I was trying. I've got the report, a printout of it. I was trying to look at it, but I think it's not something to do on the fly. I think it's something we could pull. And certainly do on list as well. And it looks like Aubrey's supporting that. We could go back and look at the report online. Larissa, did you have some points of clarification there too?
Jen, yes, thanks. It's Larissa. I did take a quick glance at the report, and I agree this shouldn't be done on the fly, but in reading through the several pages quickly, there may be the distinction between the documentation and clarity about what's already being done versus whether it's being done. So I will just leave it at that, and as staff, we will take an action item to extract relevant portions of the report pertaining to several of these recommendations, make sure that it's circulated on the list, and give everybody a chance to form your own opinions about what the intent is.
Thank you. So we have on recommendation 21 and 22, we're going to get some context and the details from the actual report. We can all go take a look at that and make comments on list to arrive at some consensus on the color coding and any comments that might be needed as we move that forward. So moving on to the last recommendation for discussion, that is number 36, and it states that when approving the formation of a PDP working group, the GNSO Council require that its membership represent, as far as reasonably practicable, the geographic, cultural, and gender diversity of the Internet as a whole. Additionally, that when approving GNSO policy, the ICANN board explicitly satisfy itself that the GNSO Council undertook these actions when approving the formation of a PDP working group. I'm sure, Chuck, go ahead.
Well, I have a problem right at the beginning when it says, when approving the formation of a PDP working group. I should have caught this a long time ago before they finalized this recommendation, but I don't think there's a point in time when the council approves the formation of a PDP working group. There's a point in time when they initiate a PDP, and that's followed by forming a working group, but I don't think that the GNSO council approves the membership of the PDP. They approve the chair or co-chairs, but so this one starts off, and it's probably just wording that needs to be fixed, but I'm not sure what they mean there. It sounds like they're recommending that the council approve the membership of a PDP before it can take off. That could be translated from what they're saying here. Do we want to go down that path? I don't know. But and then one other comment on this, and this I think relates to other parts of the report too, but, you know, we have a pretty good definition of geographic and I think a very clear definition, at least to date, on gender diversity, but I think there's still a lot of ambiguity with regard to cultural diversity, although they do talk about it in their report.
Thank you, Chuck. And Omar, I see your note. Yes, we did talk about a related recommendation, which was recommendation 32, which we flagged as red, do not implement, where cultural diversity was defined, and we did recommend that was not implemented. And for me, one of the concerns here is exactly what Chuck is saying, that it requires before forming a PDP, which it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but also that it states the diversity of the Internet as a whole. And in some components of the report, Westlake defines the Internet as a whole in terms of Internet usage in a way that this would not be practical to implement at all. There was a really big chat in there. I'm sorry, didn't quite see all of that. Klaus, did you have a comment? Please go ahead.
Yes, I would like to strongly object against the second part, because look, what happens if there is a working group recommendation which goes to the ICANN board? The ICANN board doesn't like it but doesn't have a good argument against it, and then says, we are not satisfied that you implemented reasonable practical geographical, cultural, and gender diversity. I think this is something which is just not on.
Thanks, Klaus. Marika, did you have, I think you put that big post in the chat. Did you have clarification?
Yes, this is Marika, and sorry about that. But what I posted there, that actually there is specific language in the PDP manual that talks about the role that the chair of a PDP working group has in relation to ensuring participation and diversity, while at the same time also recognizes that there will not always be volunteers from every interest group, and that it's often acceptable to have a small sub-team that is not totally representational to perform an initial role that will later be reviewed by a broader, more representational group. So I agree with Chakia that basically, indeed, that the thing they haven't understood well what the role of the council is here, but that the working group manual clearly foresees that this is actually the role of the chair, and that, as you know as well, and from past experience, I have been occasions where the chair has flagged that participation may not be as broad as it should be, but at the same time, there are obvious challenges with having all these categories represented, recognizing that certain topics may be very specific. And of course, participation and input is not only done through a PDP working group. Of course, information is spread through stakeholder groups, constituencies that provide input and hopefully have that diversity within their membership. Public comment is another mechanism by which input is achieved. So the end all game shouldn't be looking just at the way the working group is constituted, as it, of course, working group does require certain participation and commitment, and may as such not always reflect all the different factors that have been mentioned here.
Thanks, Marika. Amr, please go ahead.
Thanks, Jen, this is Amr. Yeah, I just wanted to point out something else here, that ensuring diversity in, or at least allowing for the inclusion of diverse views in development of policies in the GNSO is not limited to working group representation. So even if there are geographic or cultural diversity issues or the lack of them in the constitution of a working group, it doesn't mean that these views are not or cannot be represented. There, for one thing, for example, there are multiple public comment periods along the course of every PDP, beginning with the issue scoping phase to when the ICANN board is considering the adoption of GNSO policy recommendations. So it may not necessarily be something that would necessarily prevent the formation of a working group or the ICANN board having to adopt working group recommendations because they're not satisfied with the composition of the membership. So I just wanted to sort of just point that out, and especially with the last part of the recommendation and the role of the ICANN board in it. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. Chuck?
Thanks. And in fairness to Westlake, they did put in here as reasonably practicable. So that's a good qualifier. But each working group is different. Again, to use the inter-registrar transfer working group, that was a relatively small group and was mostly registries and registrars with a few others sprinkled in, and some groups not represented at all. But it worked. And like Amr pointed out and others, at later stages then, the broader community, the more geographic and cultural and gender diverse community, was brought into it, and they weren't interested in the early stages in the nitty-gritty, and that was okay. It's kind of like in a PDP working group itself, where we break down into small sub-teams that aren't typically geographic, culturally, and gender diverse, but they bring some some key thoughts forward that the more diverse group can then consider through public comment periods, through other input and so forth. So this one is kind of complicated, and Amr brings up a good point. I mean, do we want the board, if the board looked at the IRTP PDP working groups, A, B, C, and D, they'd have to reject it if this wasn't worded very carefully, because it was not geographic or probably not culturally, however we define it, diverse. It could have been gender diverse. I know they had both genders involved, but I don't have the list in front of me right now. So they, would we want the board to reject that when in fact it was a good process? You have to really look at the policy process from beginning to end, including end being final approval after comment periods and so forth. So again, the wording, and I suppose the Westlake probably meant that the council that the board would satisfy itself that it was all a good process, but that gets pretty complicated. They have to look at more than just the working group.
Thanks, Chuck. And Larissa, I see your hands up, too. I'll just comment. I think what we want to really make sure we're thinking about as we code this and provide our comments is, you know, as we're giving this to the OEC, what do we want them to do with this? Do we think this is a do not implement because it's just the way it's written is too off? Or do we think we agree with some of the intent and we want to clarify it? I think that's what we have to decide here, because they're going to take this and say, hey, this is the GNSO providing their comments on this recommendation. So I think we want to be really careful with one like this. Larissa, please go ahead.
It seems that one of the components of this is Larissa for the record. Seems like one of the components of this would simply have the data available, not just about the diversity or representation of the working group participants, but as Chuck suggested, of the people that responded through the various public comment processes. So perhaps a useful component or side component of this would simply be beginning to track that information and compare it over time to better understand the kind of diversity and participation that results in these various processes between working groups and people that are engaged at a different level, such as through public comment or other means. Thank you.
Thanks, Larissa. So can I ask the group, what are you leaning towards? Is this a yellow or is it a red? Do we have any comments on just kind of our general color coding, and then we could refine comments on either? Amr, please go ahead.
Yep, thanks, Jen. This is Amr. Just want to say that I'm leaning more towards red because I got the parts of this recommendation that I think are helpful and that sort of give sort of this flexibility and how to implement it. So, like Chuck said, as far as reasonably practical or practicable is included in the language here, I think the parts of this recommendation that are that may be helpful are already actually exist in the PDP manual. So I guess adding to it, whatever has been added here may not be so helpful. So I would just lean more towards red. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. Any other, who else thinks red? If you can make a check mark or make a note, or if you'd like to speak up. Being checked for red. Anybody opposed? Anybody feel like yellow would be more appropriate?
Note I said that in the chat. This is Chuck.
It didn't post for me yet. Okay, sorry about that. Thanks, Chuck. Okay, I'm sorry. My chat hadn't scrolled down. I'm seeing, so a couple are saying you lean more towards yellow. So, Amr, would you be comfortable with yellow if we had some real strong clarifying comments?
This is Armour. Yeah, I guess I would be, depending on the comments.
Okay. Okay. So perhaps if we have yellow, and this is one, too, I think that we can circulate, you know, as Sharla captures the comments from today, we can circulate it and certainly refine it as we kind of look at these last three, 21, 22, and 36, so that we can refine the comments. So let's say we flag this as yellow, and Sharla, if you can try to capture some of the comments that have been made with regard to, you know, concerns about the board and its role with regard to approving, you know, the formation of a PDP working group, recognizing what's already being done versus what's really practical, that we can capture all of those. Is there anything else that I missed in sort of generally capturing what was discussed? Anybody wants to add for Sharla to capture in the comments? Okay, I'm not seeing anything else. So as I said, particularly on these last three, we're going to get some context from the report so that we can look at those and then discuss on lists, you know, what we think those should be coded and any comments or clarification. And on 36, Sharla's going to take the comments that we had. We'll flag it as yellow, and we can take a look at those. As with all of the comments, we'll get this circulated, and everyone can take a look at, you know, how we have tagged these as either green, orange, yellow, or red, and with the comments that we have, so that we have another round of the ability to, you know, make refinements before this is formally delivered to the OEC. So I think from a timing standpoint, and Larissa, please correct me if I'm wrong here on our timing. I don't think they were meeting on this again. They're not voting on this or looking at this again until February. Is that correct? Or am I wrong about that?
That's correct. Jen, okay. This is Larissa. That's correct. The other component to consider is there's several other steps. I believe the prioritization overall, once you take a look at the color coding and what gets moved forward and how, it would still be helpful, I think, to take another look at how these should be prioritized and also what the next step would be for all of that outcome. Is that something that needs to go then to the GNSO Council before it can be forwarded to the Organizational Effectiveness Committee? So that should get factored into the timing.
Okay, so we're trying to work to. So what do you think our time frame needs to be for us to have our final recommendations? Are we trying to do this in the next month then?
I would say so, and perhaps
okay.
Marika can provide some clarity on the GNSO Council aspect. But I think that if this team finalizes it within the next month, that would ensure there's enough time.
Okay, and Marika, do you have anything you want to add to that that we should consider?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think it probably makes sense if this is going to be a GNSO response that, of course, it passes through the council for review and maybe even formal approval. The next meeting, the next meeting is tomorrow, but it's, of course, too short notice to provide them with anything. But the next council meeting in December is on the 17th of December, and the document deadline for that meeting is the 7th. So I don't know if that would be correct. So if you would want or would look for a formal council approval, and the document as well as a motion proposing approval of the assessment would need to be in by the 7th of December.
And Marika, the next GNSO council meeting would be in January then, if we didn't make that time frame?
Correct. I think we're currently looking at a draft schedule for January, and we, I think, have tentatively 2 dates for January at the moment, as we're trying to anticipate as well the CCWG accountability proposal. So it's not confirmed yet, I think, whether there would be a meeting on the 14th or the 21st, or potentially even both.
Okay. Just general thoughts. That's to try to have something completely finalized by the 7th. That's just 2 weeks, and there's the Thanksgiving holiday in there as well. So I don't know if that is realistic, given that we want to probably give everybody a really good chance to review this. So does everybody feel comfortable if we want to have our work done maybe before the holidays and then get this to the GNSO Council for their January meeting, which would provide time for changes to get to the OEC in February? Chuck, please go ahead.
I think that realistically makes more sense than trying to hit the 7th of December.
Yeah, I don't think that's
going to work. Because I think Larissa made a really good point. It was one that I was thinking of and was glad she raised it, is that I think we're going to have on a call some detailed discussion in terms of priorities. I know we have a high-level prioritization based on the survey we filled out, but I think we need to take a look at the priorities kind of as a whole together and refine our priorities. And it may take better part of a call just to do that one exercise for
Correct.
Us. But
right.
That's my thinking.
I think you're right. I mean, I think what we've done now is we've been able to organize it and frame it so that we could get through this in an efficient way. But you're right. I think what we want to do is make sure we have really strong recommendations on the prioritization when we send it to certainly to council and then to the OEC. And I think the more we've done our legwork, the easier it will be for council to review it and consider it. So why don't we proceed with that timing in mind, that our goal will be to get this circulated, have our comments on list, and schedule another call to take a look at that, make any refinements, and discuss prioritization so that we could complete our written report before, you know, before the holidays, before the end of the year, and then be prepared to submit that in early January for the council to look at its January meeting. Does that work for everybody? Checks? Okay. So that's how we'll proceed. Sharla, I know that's a lot of work on you in a short period of time. We really appreciate all of your help and all the hard work in getting this organized so that we could work through this very efficiently. I appreciate everybody's time. Larissa, please, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Thanks, Jen. This is Larissa. Another reminder that at some point after these important tasks are completed, there is one more activity, which is to evaluate the performance of Westlake. So to support that effort, staff will prepare a survey type tool for the members of the working party to respond to as you wish, and it will be based on the criteria that were included in the request for proposal and part of the process of how Westlake was selected. So I just wanted to remind Jen, you, and the rest of the members that that's still a really important step to complete, and there is no particular deadline for that.
Thank you. I appreciate you reminding us of that. And is that something that we each can reply to our own survey, or is it something where we have to have consensus?
I think it's completely your call. My suggestion would be, based on what seemed to be early success of using the survey tool that seemed to have helped people formulate their own thoughts and ideas, and then we discussed it as a group, if you would be happy with that format, we could do it the same way.
I think that would be very helpful, and I think since we've got some time sensitivity to finish our substantive work, let's get that done first, and then we will certainly come back to getting our feedback. I know we all probably have a lot of comments for Westlake, and we can address that at that point in time. So thank you for reminding us of that.
Great.
Okay, if there's nothing else, thank you, everybody, for your continued time and support of this process, and we will keep this moving forward and to our next phone call. So I think we'll send out a doodle poll to get a call scheduled in the next few weeks so we keep this on track within the next month. Thanks, everybody, so much for your time today. Really appreciate it, and everybody have a great rest of your week. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks. Bye.